Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I bring to the show what I feel is the cutting-edge technology in this spiritual revolution that we're a part of. And tonight's guest is someone who's really put a lot of her time into helping people understand just the way we go about creating the world around us, and that's through the words we use. Her new book is called Every Word Has Power, and her name is Yvonne Oswald, and we'll be talking about the power of words to affect our reality that we live in. Yvonne, are you there?
Yes, I am here, Alan.
So you really take it down to the base level where it's how words affect our thinking and how we create the reality we live in from what we're thinking. But we have to change the language if we want to change the outer, what we see out there. Is that correct?
That's right. Because your self-talk is 100% of your results. So the secret tells you what to do. It tells you to have positive intent and think positively. And then people have been having a go at that and finding it's not working, but not realizing that the actual words they're using is taking them in the opposite direction than they want to go. So, for instance, words like problem and bad have a low resonance, and what they do is they slow down the process.
So, do you say get rid of that total vocabulary from your, you know, from everyday speech, bad,
mm-hmm.
problem?
Yeah. Well, it's only 20% of your words have emotional weight, and that's not very many, actually, except that those are the ones we use the most, because we drive our lives on emotions. So if you can consciously change the words you use, consciously change which particular word you use, then what you find is you've suddenly got really, really nice high-energy thoughts coming into your head. So it just happens naturally. It's almost like each low-energy word carries a low resonance, and it puts little black clouds above your head. So as soon as you start thinking in high-energy words, the sunshine starts coming through and the clouds just disappear. And you get miraculous results. I mean, literally. I mean, I had it happen exactly this morning. I just turned around to my husband. I said, really? I said, I need an assistant. I'm getting so busy. My book just got to 23 on the Amazon bestseller list today. It's only been out 2 weeks, so I'm really happy. And then, as I finished speaking, the phone rang, and my daughter's friend's mother called, and she said, if you know anyone who needs a part-time job, let me know. I need one. And I just said, come to work tomorrow. And it really does start, it's almost like you have this miraculous thought that you're sending out.
And so you had to really train yourself a lot to just
You know what, though? It took me a lot longer than it will take anybody else because I've got the method now.
Uh-huh. Well,
so you need a switch, buddy. You need to get someone else to catch you doing it.
Yeah. How did you discover it?
Well, what I was doing, I started doing hypnosis with people. I had my master's in hypnosis. I'm doing my PhD in clinical hypnosis. And I realized when I was training people, when I was listening to them talking to their clients, they were using a lot of words like don't worry, don't feel bad, and I was thinking, wow, you don't want to say that to someone when they're, you know, the critical faculty's off when you're in hypnosis, the filter's gone in effect. So I started asking them to change their words, and nobody seemed to be able to do it, so we started again, and I gave them 20 coins at the beginning of the week's training and said, you know, every low energy word you use, you have to get a coin up. And it turned into such fun. I mean, after 3 days, the coins were just flying around the room. And after the 7 or 8 day training, people were actually using their words consciously, and they were absolutely amazed at how they felt about themselves. So it was really kind of a process of it just evolved, really.
Well, so, I mean, you know, words, Noam Chomsky said that language is hardwired into our brains, you know, so
yes.
It's like, we've reduced, part of our problem, I think, is that we've reduced reality to words, and
yes.
So
yes.
We're not really even, part of what I've been doing on this program is understanding how we construct reality, so we're not even really seeing reality, we're seeing a kind of a mental construct of it, so
And you're also seeing a tiny, tiny part of it. Like, your brain basically thoughts through 2 million pieces of information every second, and you only observe seven pieces of that every second, because that's why phone numbers are in groups of seven, right? So the word you use now, we're using now, 65,000 years old when language first began. And that was when the middle brain was functioning most. And the middle brain is the limbic brain or the family brain. And that's very black, white, hierarchical. It's very parental, you know, very male oriented. And it's hate, love, black, white. It's all those polarity feelings. Well, what's happening now is we're all starting to use the cerebral cortex, the frontal lobe. And that, really, we don't need to take those negative words or emotions into there. And ideally, if we can all live in that part of the brain, then we'll all be happy all the time.
So
this is consciously making yourself develop that part of the brain.
So it's part of our evolution is to to move to the neocortex, the frontal part of our brain. And
have you
studied that specifically, what happens when we live in that part of our brain?
Yes. You're in total optimism all the time. And when you're not, it's simply a message from your unconscious mind that you're not quite on track. So it's actually quite amazing how fast you flip back into that brain when you actually start watching your language.
And of course, if
you're with someone who's depressed and using that kind of language, and no problem is just the same as problem, because your mind is like a quantum internet, so it doesn't understand the no part, and it doesn't, you know. So if I say to you, don't think of a pink elephant, what are you going to think about?
Right.
If I said, don't worry, what are you going to think about?
Don't think of pink elephants.
Don't worry. So you'll be thinking of worrying. What happens if I say no problem or not bad? Your unconscious mind simply searching for all those words connected with the keyword.
Right. So if we're going to start to really activate the frontal lobes and the neocortex and start to live in a new reality, it's not just what we're not saying. Something else has to happen. We have to start to take in more of that sense impressions that we've disconnected from, that we've been conditioned not to see, right?
Yes, because children tell the parents not to be angry, not to get, you know, not to use those low energy emotions. Well, if they tell them that not to be, A, they're directing them towards it. You know, it's like they say don't touch to a child, and the child reaches out and touches because it just hears the touch. And secondly, they're repressing the emotions, and the emotions can only be stored in the physical body, so they're going to get ill later, they're going to have disease later. So if we can actually just trust children to let go of emotions and be as happy when they're angry as when they're sad, or happy, or, you know, just accept whatever emotions comes up and then let them go, what will happen as an adult, you can do that just as easily.
So, but I mean, that's just one, but how do we actually start to, you know, tap into the reality that seems to be all around us that we haven't yet discovered, you know?
Right. Well, basically, if you can actually, you basically need to get someone else to watch the way you speak. And if you can choose just one word that you use a lot, and then ask them to clear that every time you open your mouth. So if you say not bad a lot or no problem a lot, you can just say to a friend, look, catch me when I'm saying that so I can change it.
Uh-huh.
And what will happen is you'll say, instead of no problem, you'll say you'll be fine or you're welcome. And, you know, not bad is just the same as quite good, but it actually resonates better. And what automatically happens is you start thinking towards things.
You start moving
towards your goals instead of always looking back over your shoulder. What people in effect do is drive through life looking in the rearview mirror all the time.
Uh-huh.
They're thinking of the past, they're thinking of what they haven't got, they're thinking of what they've got now as opposed to what they'd like, instead of just setting a clear goal and just going for it.
But how do we ever discover something that's the unknown? You know, it's like, how can we use this to bring in, like, a higher... I mean, you're moving towards what you know because you're setting your goal, but I'm just looking at how do we start to tap in what we have yet to discover, what we have yet to dream? How do we dream bigger dreams with this?
Okay. So in the book, The Every Word Has Power book, what I've done is a wonderful exercise that I came up with when I was looking at goal setting, actually. And I say to people, what would you do if you won $1 million today? Uh-huh. Right? And then what happens then is that people actually spend it like in a heartbeat. They buy a house, they buy a car, they go on holiday and give some away to friends. And then I ask them, what will you do if you get $5 million then today? And that starts them thinking about what really do they want from life, because with $5 million you can do quite a lot. Not a lot with a million these days. With $5 million, they then start thinking about, well, learning something or growing or contributing back. When you get $1 billion, like the Oprahs of the world, like the Ted Turners, what happens is suddenly you really, really start tapping into what life is really all about. And as you start to do that, that actually puts you on your life path and makes you realize what you're really here for.
Uh-huh.
It's actually quite interesting. I only ever get one answer to the $1 billion question. And it's set up a foundation.
Say that part again, that list.
It's set up a foundation. People
uh-huh.
always want to set up a foundation. And depending on their interest, whether it's with children or whether it's education or whether it's with animals or people, I usually set them to work actually going one day a week and offering help at the charity or maybe doing a job along those lines too. And suddenly they actually start to align with the higher values, and then what happens is you actually start to get fantastic results in your life. It's quite surprising. When you're not thinking about the day-to-day paying the rent or the mortgage, suddenly you actually start to bring people into your life who actually are part of your soul group, in effect.
And you've had some miraculous results. Can you tell some people about what actually happened, what you've seen, you know?
Well, I've got a friend called Dr. Teddy, actually, Dr. Eddie Teddy, and he has a whole client base of people who have really heavy depressions and cancers. And he said, just by using the methods in the book, he's actually got people totally optimistic. He said his recovery rates health-wise have been a lot, lot faster. And this is really interesting because the word health comes from the word hail, which comes from the word holy, which is about being aligned with God.
Mm-hmm.
So when you align yourself...
Yeah, go ahead. No, I was just going to ask. No, continue that.
So when you're aligned with God, you're feeling great. There's nothing actually, I believe we have two jobs to do on Earth, Alan. I believe we're here to do our personal development, our own growth, which is
uh-huh.
why we choose the families to do, which is why they're all dysfunctional.
Right.
Yeah. Apparently there is a three-letter word in dysfunctional, and that's fun. But it's not that much fun when you're in it. It's a lot of fun when you look back at it.
But we shouldn't even use those words, dysfunctional, because doesn't that also...
It's a low-energy word, yeah. That's
why
I take the word out, the fun out of it, and actually put it as a separate word. Yeah, a low energy. And a family group that doesn't work so well together, then let's put it like that.
What doesn't work so well together, you're saying?
If any family group you choose, a mother and a father, generally people don't have great experiences with the parents. And that's from a subjective perspective, not objectively, because everybody else can think their parents are great.
Uh-huh.
However, if they're getting the 150,000 negative commands we all get before we're 7 years old, then, you know, it's not going to be such a fabulous experience.
Right.
You know, and a lot of us spend many, many years recovering from that experience, in effect. My goal will be to actually change people's way of teaching the children and speaking to the children so that we don't have to go through anything as young adults.
So should we just throw those words out of our language?
It would be great if we could, because what will happen... From a quantum mechanics perspective, is that when you cease to observe something, it ceases to exist.
When we cease to have the... Like, I'm interviewing some people from this organization called People Unlimited who refuse to even talk about death. They claim to be immortal, and they are great people. And so they do not give those words language. And so they feel they can overcome death by not even... talking about it. Does that make sense to you, or is that a denial?
I understand where they're coming from. However, and truly there really is no death. The energy doesn't die, it simply changes form.
Right, but they want to live in their physical body.
Yeah, but you're here to live in a physical body, that's the whole point.
But forever,
you know,
they want, which is
you
okay.
Know, well, oh no, I don't want the same body forever. I'd like to swap and change a bit. And, you know, it's lovely being in this body, but it would be great to have a new chance and a whole new journey to go on, a whole new, you know. One of the Kabbalah talks about when a baby is conceived, the angel puts her finger on the upper lip to make the baby forget all its previous experiences. And there's a really good reason for that. And it's so you don't bring any conscious limiting decisions into this lifetime. So that you come in with a clean slate. And I think that's a really important concept, that you realize that on one hand, you've got your genetic inheritance, you've got your past life inheritance. However, you've also got a clean slate from the perspective of it's a new chance this time again.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part.
You have a new chance again this lifetime to actually make something new and start afresh.
Right, but we have a chance each moment to do that as well, don't you think?
Yes, you do. And each day, and each, yeah, exactly. So to me, the idea of living forever, I'm not sure that sounds so great. I love the idea of living forever in a different body now and again.
Well, I think we are living. I mean, in truth, the only forever is in the present moment. So if we get really present, then we are in the forever moment.
Yes, yes. And yes, I had a lady with a back issue today, full enough. I did a breakthrough session with her last week.
Mm-hmm.
And she came in and she was talking about how her back was falling to pieces, and oh my gosh, the language around it was really not good. She said it was like a crumbling corpse. Those are the actual words she used. And I said, wow, how interesting. I said, what if your back was strong? And we did the whole breakthrough session, and she came back today, and I said, how's your back? She said, it's been absolutely great. It must have been the bed I was lying on. It must have been the chair I was sitting on. I was like, how interesting. And I said, it couldn't just be that you actually started changing your thinking about it. She still said, that's a possibility. And it had really not occurred to her that she had done some healing work on it. She actually was projecting outwards onto other things. And she left here today saying, I'm really glad I've healed my back. It feels great.
So what you're really getting down to is being conscious of every single thing that comes out of our mouth.
Exactly. And in fact, I did the job so well when I said to her, so what about that part of your back that's different? She said, there's no part of my back that's different. I was like, woohoo, did it. Because she'd been seeing this part of the back that wasn't working as a separate part of herself.
Uh-huh.
And that new reality, like you say, was like this whole new concept that her back was part of her whole body.
Right.
You know,
right.
And once the body was healed, then the back was going to heal automatically.
Well, that's a trauma. When there's a trauma, we disconnect parts from parts of ourselves.
Exactly. And that integrating of the whole, that bringing that part that you separated off for your health and benefit. And what people don't realize is that the unconscious mind's immaculate. It's an amazing device that does everything it can to protect you.
Uh-huh.
And if that includes hurting you for some reason at the time, it will do that. Let me give an example of that.
Yeah.
A guy came to me with 5 personalities. And his mom said he's on drugs, we tried everything. He'd had a really, really traumatic experience as a kid. He'd been really nasty, had been abused. And when he sat down in my chair, in my therapy chair, I said, you are amazing. I said, you're probably one of the most healthy people I know. And he said, no, I'm sick, I've got 5 personalities. I said, absolutely not. I said, you have an immaculate health condition, which is amazing that your unconscious mind protected you so much by offering you a different reality every day to try and get you to survive the day. I said, it's brilliant. And he said, I'd never thought of it like that. And I got him back into one personality in 2 sessions. It was fabulous.
How did you actually do that? What did you show him about what he was doing that?
I did it with his unconscious mind. I did hypnosis, we did timeline therapy, and we did NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So it's human behavioral technologies. It's working with the way the brain actually works. So, for instance, if you come to me, if I'm a computer techie, and you've got lots of viruses in your computer, you come to a techie, and the techie's going to take the viruses out, and the computer's as good as new, right?
You're right.
That's what you do.
You take the viruses out of the emotional.
The original program was fabulous.
Mm.
The original program was absolutely the blueprint of perfect health. And what I do is I always take people back to that blueprint before birth, before even conception sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So that you can reconnect with that the you you really are.
Now, how do you do that? Is that like all process?
There's a whole process of timeline therapy. I call it memory continuum work, where we go back and... You see... most talk therapy simply goes into the most emotional, the biggest emotional content. And that's not very healthy for you because all you're doing is re-anchoring it. With the timeline, with the memory continuum, we go back before the incident or before the first event ever happened. And
what,
you pull the whole thread out. You pull the whole gestalt in one
go. Wait, you go back before the incident happened and you do what?
And then you come back to now, having learned the lessons, and simply disband the whole gestalt. It's gone.
You mean having learned the spiritual lessons of that?
Yes, and the real lessons. And you know what? There aren't that many lessons, which is fabulous. You know, the positive lesson would be something like, you know, follow your own star, be your own person. Have courage and just go forward. You know, those kind of lessons.
Uh-huh.
And once you're aware of that, you know, I usually say, how could it have been played out differently? And people always know. It's quite amazing how much they always know.
People know how it could have been different. So is that part of the healing, is imagining a new timeline of possibilities?
Yes, it is. And it's instructing the unconscious mind that we made a really good decision in the past and it's no longer valid, so please delete that file. It's
so
that simple.
Do you just tell your unconscious mind to delete the file?
Yep, that's as simple as that. And
you say delete
the lessons.
You say, okay, I had a bad experience with my mother or something, let's just delete that file.
Okay, so what you do is you go to my Magic of the Mind number 6 in the book.
Wait, slow down, you do what?
It's called Magic of the Mind. I've got 10 Magic of the Mind tricks in the book.
Magic of
and
the Nine. Magic of the
Mind.
Number six.
And number 6 tells you how to release a negative emotion in less than a minute. It's fantastic. It works on everything.
Uh-huh.
I invented it about 12 months ago.
You just tapped into this? So how did you get these?
Well, what happened was my daughter had a nightmare. She was watching a cartoon with zombies, and she couldn't get to sleep at night. We did everything. I did hypnosis, you name it. She was having panic attacks. And I said to my husband, you know, I know enough about the mind that I should be able to sort this. And I started experimenting and came up with this method in less than a minute, and it was absolutely amazing. She was asleep in 1 minute, and she never had a nightmare again, and the next day she was fine with it.
Oh, really? Can we do it here?
Sure, we can do it. What you do is you go ahead and look up at a spot on the ceiling and just stare. This is going to take you into the state of alpha.
Okay, so everyone who's listening can do this as well.
Who's listening can do this right now, right?
Okay.
So the first stage is to go ahead and look up at the ceiling and choose a spot.
Okay.
And then become aware of what's on the right and what's on the left. And still staring, what you'll feel is you start to get really calm.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's called the state of alpha. And what then you do is you look around the room straight ahead, at the same time as still being aware of what's on the right and the left.
Okay.
Now, when you're driving, this is a fantastic state to be in, because it means then you're aware of your peripheral vision. Okay.
Uh-huh. When you're riding, you say? When you're
Driving, in the car.
Oh, driving, I see.
Well, riding a horse is awesome.
No, driving. So when you're driving,
driving.
I often do that. I often stare ahead, but also kind of go wide-eyed, yes.
That's right, the wide-eyed, that's a good way for it to put it, actually. It's the wide vision, it's like the 180-degree vision.
Yeah.
And what that does is it makes you basically be in that trebuchal, in the frontal lobe, it makes you be in the optimistic state. It's called the learning state. In Hawaiian, it's called Hakalau.
Uh-huh.
Hakalau is called the learning state. It's the state you should be in if you're in a class learning, for instance.
Uh-huh.
So if you know any kids, teach them this. And tell them it's a secret, and they're only to tell other people that they like. Then they'll tell everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically then look at the teacher at the same time as being aware of what's on the right and the left.
Uh-huh.
Then you take in all the learning unconsciously, because all learning is unconscious. When you come to do an exam then, if you're in that state to start the exam, A, you're not anxious anymore, and B, you'll just access the information really quickly.
Wait, go back to that statement. You said all learning is unconscious?
All learning and all change is unconscious.
Well, where does that come from? Where'd you get that?
Okay,
I thought I had to really concentrate and focus to learn
something. No, not at all. The opposite. You make a decision to change. However, all change is done on the unconscious level.
How do you rationalize that? How do you know?
Okay. So people say it took me a year to give up smoking. Okay.
Yeah.
It took them 1 second to give up smoking. It took them a year to make the decision.
I see.
Okay. So once a decision is made, the change is done instantaneously, and it's your unconscious mind that does that.
But how is learning unconscious? I understand the giving up of a habit, but how do you define that? Where is that documented, or where have you found
that? It's an NLP, it's neuro-linguistic programming, it's human behavioral technology,
mm-hmm.
and they realize that when you are observing information, you take it into a filter, and you delete, distort, and generalize it, and then store it in your unconscious mind. Okay? And it's your unconscious mind that does the storing and the learning.
So you take in the information. If you want to learn something, you
mm-hmm.
take in all the data from something.
Yeah.
And then you delete the conscious file of it, you're saying?
No. Your conscious mind deletes, distorts, and generalizes it. It has to in order to store it, right? So it will delete some of the information. It will generalize some of the information, and it will distort some of the information if there's emotions around. Okay, so if you're learning something like math, or you know something easy like language or whatever,
uh-huh.
you'll tend to store it correctly. However, if you're learning and there's a lot of emotions around,
uh-huh.
what happens is when it's stored away in your unconscious mind, the emotions are stored with it. So when it's triggered again, it comes up. So if you had a not good experience in an exam, for instance,
uh-huh.
every time you go in a car when you were learning, say you were learning to drive,
uh-huh.
and you didn't have a good experience, any time you get in a car after that, you'll get those emotions coming up. So if you can simply learn while you're in this state of alpha, then
it's what do you say, alpha?
Alpha, A-L-P-H-A, alpha.
A-L-T-H-A,
alpha.
Alpha.
So when you're drawing or when you're being creative, you're
in
that state of alpha.
I see.
Right?
Alpha, yes. Okay.
Alpha. And it's a meditation state. It's a state you're in when you're in hypnosis. It's a lovely state to be in.
It's without emotion, without the drama of emotion, alpha.
What did you what, sorry?
Well, I'm saying there's none of that dramatic emotion in an alpha state.
No, you can't have a negative emotion in alpha. It's impossible.
Can you have a positive emotion?
You can have positive emotion for sure. Yeah. Because if you think of it, Alan, you're directly connected to God and, you know, you're in this wonderful state on an unconscious level. Your unconscious mind has that direct connection with God.
Would you
it's
say creativity? Creativity comes from that state, right?
Correct. And creativity connects you to God. It's like a hotline. So excitement, enthusiasm, creativity connects you directly to God and brings you whatever you want real fast.
But there's been a lot of creativity that has, been created to stimulate, like, negative emotion, right? So
mm-hmm.
how does that fit in?
Okay. So the negative emotion, if you think of all, what you're doing is you're kind of putting a judgment on emotions, and there is no judgment on emotions, right? If you think of all emotions as messengers, nothing more, nothing less.
Okay.
So the messenger arrives, and you feel great. That means you're on track, and you're in alignment with your values, and everything's going well. And the messenger arrives, and you don't feel great, and that's your signal to go, oh, what am I doing? What am I thinking that's not quite on track? Okay.
So the messenger is, the emotion is a messenger that our thinking is off.
Yes. A negative emotion says your thinking is not quite in alignment with where you're supposed to be going.
But what if we're feeling depressed or despair or anxiety?
Depression is repressed anger. So it means you got angry at something, didn't acknowledge it, didn't do anything about it, and the depression is your unconscious mind's message to say, hey, come on, we need to sort this one out.
So if I'm feeling depressed,
I have
to see what the messenger is really trying to tell me about.
Yeah, and what you're really angry about, because the depression is a total result of anger that's been repressed.
Uh-huh. There's so many depressed people out there taking drugs.
Yeah, well, it's a distress signal from your unconscious mind to say, hey, come on, we've got too much baggage here. We're carrying too many potatoes.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
It's like, come on, time for a garage sale.
So what do you suggest to those people who are depressed, then?
Okay, so let's go into the clearing the negative emotion. You ready?
Ready.
All right. So what you have to do, first of all, you know how to go into alpha now, okay? You look at the ceiling, you look at what's on the right and the left, and you start to feel really good.
So when I'm wide-eyed like that, I'm in alpha?
You are in alpha.
Okay, so I can switch into alpha any minute then.
You're going into alpha all the time from now on, Alan, right?
You okay.
should be in that state most of the day. Okay, so what we need is your name for the emotion you want to clear. So, in other words, we're looking to delete a file. Your unconscious mind works exactly the same as the internet, and it works exactly the same as the Word document. So if you say to your unconscious, if you say to your computer, delete this file, please, it's going to say, which file? What's the name of the file?
Uh-huh.
You find the name of the file, and then you go to delete it, and it says, are you sure you want to delete this file? And you say, yes, I do. Can you delete it? And then it goes into trash, and then you have to empty the trash. So it's a three-step
process. So if I say, like, sadness, then I want to delete the file of sadness.
Okay. Let's find a time when you were sad.
Okay.
This is the biggest time you're thinking about. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're going to put your head down to do that. So everybody who's listening, uh-huh. put your head down and access whatever negative emotion you want to do, whether it's sadness or anger or fear or guilt or anxiety.
You put your head down. So you're not in alpha anymore. You're
not in alpha anymore when you put your head down. You're in the limbic brain. You're in the family brain. And you can then access a negative emotion.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So go ahead and find where you're storing that negative emotion in your physical body.
Oh,
where would that
okay.
be?
I guess in my stomach area.
In your stomach? Okay, very common. Stomach or chest as usual. So connect with that feeling, because I want you to really be aware of your body so that you can be aware of where it's disappeared like that. Okay, you ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So are you holding a phone or are you hands-free?
Well, no, I'm not holding. My hands are free because I'm just
okay,
resting
cool.
it on my ear.
So if anybody's at home and they're holding a phone, hold the phone with your left hand so that you can use your right hand free. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Lots
so
of people
you
are just listening.
Yeah, so put your left hand in a loose fist on your knee.
My left hand on a loose fist on my knee?
A loose fist facing down, yeah, or just facing down. So you
okay, holding my knee, basically.
Yeah, holding your knee, in effect.
Okay.
Okay, so what you're going to do is go ahead and look up.
Okay.
Use your spot on the ceiling. Become aware of what's on the right and what's on the left.
Uh-huh.
And then with the forefinger, with the tip of your right finger... of the forefinger, put that tip of the finger on the first knuckle of your left hand, where your hand joins the finger.
The first knuckle of my left.
Yes. Yeah.
And
so
between the thumb
right
and the forefinger, or between the forefinger and the middle finger.
On the knuckle itself. Where
on the knuckle of the forefinger.
Yeah, the first finger, the pointy finger.
Okay.
Where the finger joins the hand, there's a knuckle, right?
Right. Gotcha.
Okay, and then you put the tip of your right finger on that. Okay, so
gotcha.
Hold that on it while we do the exercise, because that's called an anchor. And the more times you do it on that bit, in the future, if you feel down, you can just simply put your finger there and it'll go. You don't even need to do anything. Okay?
Okay.
So as you're looking up, become aware of what's on the right and the left. Finger on the knuckle. Take a deep breath. And hold the breath. And as you release the breath, still being aware of what's on the right and the left, keep your eye on the ceiling. Release the breath as you release the root cause of the sadness, along with all other negative emotions, limiting decisions and beliefs. Preserve the positive lessons for your health and benefit. Let the breath go. Take the finger off and put your head down.
Mm.
Okay? Now go ahead and look for the sadness. You won't find it as easily.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be there.
Okay, so go ahead and look up once more.
Uh-huh.
Become aware of what's on the right and what's on the left. Finger
uh-huh.
on the knuckle. Take a deep
uh-huh.
breath.
Uh-huh.
As you release the breath, let go of the root cause of the sadness, along with all other negative emotions, limiting decisions and beliefs. Preserve the positive lessons for your health and benefit. Let the breath go. Take the finger off. Last time, put your head down.
Uh-huh.
You won't feel it at all this time, but go ahead and look anyway.
Okay, look
this
up again.
We're removing from the trash, yep.
Uh-huh.
Look up again. Become aware of what's on the right and the left. Finger on the knuckle. Take a deep breath. And as you release the breath, let go of the root cause of the sadness, along with all other negative emotions, and limiting decisions and beliefs, preserve the positive lessons for your health and benefit. Let the finger off and you're done. And now
I feel a shift. How does that actually work? I mean,
how does
touching your knuckle affect your consciousness?
It's not the knuckle so much as the peripheral vision. When you're in alpha, it's like you're looking like an eagle on the stuff that's happening. Uh-huh. And, you know, your unconscious mind's got a bird's eye view of it, and it goes, oh my gosh, you don't need that file anymore. Cool, I'll delete it for you.
So alpha's a way of retrieving the file, because you can't retrieve it in beta.
No,
but
you can't
now,
retrieve it, but you're in it if you're in it. You know, if you've got a file that's got a virus in it, would you even dream of opening it?
Right.
Right. You wouldn't do that. And basically that's what people try to do in talk therapy, is they open the file and the virus is all over the place. This way, you're finding the file and saying, I don't need to open it, thank you. I'm going to stand above it, look at it, and we're going to just delete it from here, thank you. And don't ever let that one in again. Please get the firewall up.
Well, so now how do you combine this type of mind magic therapy, I would call it, with the every word has power? How do you bring these two things together?
What I started out by doing, Alan, was working with language and words, and then I started taking it to a deeper level and saying what was actually happening when the words were used. Mm-hmm. And, of course, what happens when you use words is emotions are stimulated.
Right.
And then, of course, the more words I started clearing from my language, I suddenly found huge things coming out emotionally. And it was like my unconscious mind was going, woohoo, we're having a garage sale. Hey, here's a cupboard we've not looked in a long time. And I was getting emotions coming flying to the surface that were like, wow, where's this coming from? So I had to start working on how can I clear them fast.
So you invented all this magic mind therapy. And you have a CD out as well.
The CD was produced because people kept saying, I want to hear this. I want to listen to it, not just do it. I want to hear the explanation. I want to hear how the mind works. So I produced an 11-track CD with also a nice hypnosis meditation on it for 18 minutes at the end, and it's about clearing away all those negative emotions.
Well, tell people how to get your CD.
Okay, then they can go onto my website, which is www.globalwelcome.com, and it's also www.yvonneoswald.com as well. Yeah.
And you're going to be on a book tour on the West Coast, right?
I am. So anybody who's on the West Coast, I'm in Portland the 23rd of April. I'm in Seattle on the 15th of May. And then I'm going to Idaho, and I'm going to L.A. at the end of May. And I'm in L.A. the first week of June as well.
Yeah, I saw you're at a conference. I saw your name at a conference somewhere. What is that conference?
Gosh, I've got the Spelling Bee conference. The 4th of May. I'm also at, oh gosh, I've got all sorts of conferences actually.
Isn't the New Age?
The INATS, yeah, the INATS.
Yes,
in Denver.
I saw you.
Yes, the INATS in Denver is the last weekend of June, and I'll be there doing the book signing there as well.
Uh huh. Yeah. And are you coming to the East Coast at all?
I will be, actually. I've got a lot of people approaching me from New York and the East Coast, so I'll probably be doing a whole week or two of it, like a whirlwind thing. Probably it'll have to be after June, but for sure I'm going to be there towards the fall.
Okay, because this interview will be archived on BBS Radio and on my website newrealities.com.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to be putting the schedule on my website on globalwelcome.com.
Globalwelcome.com. So, I mean, you've really kind of gotten to the root of it all with this little book of yours.
I am very, very excited about it, It's
the emotional clearing, the language, changing the reality around us, and this is pretty amazing.
It's huge. We're going to change the world. I won national awards in November for it. I'm getting emails from all over the world saying, wow, this stuff has to come. When are you coming to see us? You know,
well, I know Beyond Words, and they just pick out really fine books to publish.
Yeah.
So
they are fantastic. Beyond Words are amazing. They published The Secret as well.
Yeah.
It started a whole new reality with them.
Well, it brought it into public awareness. I mean, that movie really, well, it started with the movie What the Bleep. Exactly.
And
so
messages from water and things, yeah.
Yeah, so we're actually culturally moving into a new time, and I think, you know, a new time needs a new language or a new way of using language.
We need to invent a new way of communicating with each other. And, you know, you're a third of your life at work. And what I'm doing is going into corporations and going into big businesses and saying, let's get the communication amongst all these people so that they're seeing people as just having a different model, not, you know, being different from them, but realizing that we just have different ways of looking at things and seeing and thinking and hearing things.
But what's how else can we change our reality? How else can we make a really big impact on the mainstream?
Studying body language, studying tonality, studying the word, the whole communication thing. And I go into that a lot in the book. I was working with a real estate company yesterday, Remax, in Toronto. And I really, really, the salespeople were saying, oh, my gosh, we had no idea what we were doing. Because sometimes you get a hit when you're selling, and sometimes you don't. And you wonder why. What's the difference when you don't? It's simple body language and tonality and words that you're using.
Yeah. Well, no, that's interesting. And so that's also part of the subconscious, in the sense that images speak much louder than words.
Yes, and if you're using body language and words, your unconscious mind will pick up on the body language much quicker.
Right.
So if you're saying, I think you look amazing today, and you're shaking your head.
Right.
You won't trust that person, but you don't know why, you're not quite sure, but you'll catch on to it unconsciously.
You need what?
When you meet a stranger, you have less than 2 seconds to decide whether they're a friend or not.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was deep wired from thousands of years ago. So we already know on a deep level whether to trust people or not, and what.
But it also depends on what your predisposition is. You can be in a distrustful disposition, or you can be in a trusting disposition, you know.
If you're distrustful, it simply means you were taught to distrust. You're not naturally distrustful.
No, or so I know, but it can be ingrained into us, though.
So. Yeah, from parents, from people, from teachers, from older people saying, you know, don't trust this. Don't
so
trust
we
that.
Have to get over the conditioning and all this thing.
It's a simple limiting decision. That's all it is.
But you know, I do think that the other things that impact us are our environment. That's why I think feng shui is so
100%.
Powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. You come in with. You see, I watched a guy who I know really, really well. The last weekend I had the pleasure to be with him, Victor Crowell, fantastic guy, a singer. And this man walks up to people, total strangers in the street, shakes their hand, says, good morning, Victor, how are you doing? Isn't it a great day? Your name is? And people respond like he's their best friend.
Wait, he goes up to them and says their name?
He says their name, he asks for their name, he gives them a card, he says, what do you do? I'm really happy to meet you. I hope you have a great day. And he walks away. And they're smiling, and it's wonderful.
So he's
changed. You know, he brings sunshine into people's lives. He's so warm and outgoing and there for them. And that's what we all need to start doing.
We need to all be outgoing.
Well, you know, even if you just smile, you know, gently at someone instead of scowling at them, that will make a whole difference.
Yeah, I think that's part of changing the planet, yeah.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you decide that for 1 week that everybody you meet is your best friend, and you need to say to them, hi, have a great day, hope your day is wonderful, everyone's going to start really, you know, and making a conscious effort to do it.
Don't you feel like everyone's your best friend?
I do.
I do, too.
Me too. It's kind of interesting. A client of mine said the other day, I was saying, yeah, we're going to do TV and we're going to pitch Larry King because I really want to be on the Larry King show. And someone said, wow, is that intimidating or what? And I'm like, no. I love the guy. He's fantastic.
I think he's a good guy, too. I think
he's really good. You know, he's like you. He makes whoever you're interviewing feel really good about themselves.
Right. Plus, he's into UFOs, which is a pet subject.
Oh, is he? Okay. Cool.
Oh, yeah. He's a total... very open to that possibility.
Which
I think. So, do you have another book coming up?
Not yet. I'm busy working on some great hypnotherapy scripts. I'm actually working on a cancer hypnotherapy script right now. And part of that is about we've been treating cancer as an enemy instead of realizing that it's just cells that are out of connection with the brain. So I'm working on doing a metaphor where the cancer cells are actually little patients in hospitals, and the little men in white coats are coming to heal them.
And have you had some miraculous cures with this?
Yeah, so the little men in white coats are the white blood corpuscles, helping the cancer cells to connect again.
Right. That's and the Symington method did stuff like that, I think.
Yeah, it's changing the message. But they're not enemies. They're part of your body. So, you know, all you need to do is reconnect and realign yourself with them.
Right. So have you helped people with that?
Yes, I have. I've been working with someone, and it's working very, very well. Because it's all about not feeling that there's part of you that's not working. It's all working. It's just not connected.
Wasn't it all illness, in a sense, is that, right?
Exactly, because it's disease. It's
right.
a lack of ease with your physical body or with your emotions in some way.
Right.
So your unconscious mind has nowhere to store those emotions but your physical body.
Uh-huh.
And if they're negative emotions, then that particular part of the body will start to not work very well.
Right. So it's making it conscious. We have to make it all conscious as well.
Yeah.
So we don't have to use our body to store the negative emotions.
Exactly. And you can literally... You can get rid of them by simply doing physical exercise. You can do it by shouting and screaming and letting it out like with a big loud voice, because that changes the vibration of it too. Or you can do it with your emotions and do the mind magic.
Well,
there's lots of ways. It's all the same thing, you know.
So what would you like to leave people with the most? I mean, that was a good piece, but is there anything else you'd like to...
I'd like to leave people with the idea that life is about having fun and learning, rather than, you know, just all working all the time.
Mm.
You know, and it's about really connecting with yourself and making yourself happy and making other people happy. And people don't reward themselves enough. I think you need to reward yourself a lot better.
Reward ourselves with
simply
what?
Simply by saying, right, I've done a good day's work, I deserve a nice coffee, I deserve a sit down, I'm going to read a book.
Uh-huh.
You know, we do it when we're children. Kids will always say, then can I play, then can I have someone over?
Right.
You know, and we finish work and then typically start work again.
Uh-huh.
You know,
it's balance then, in that sense.
It is about balance. Yeah, you're right. It's about having mind, body, spirit balance all around.
Mm-hmm. Well, Yvonne, definitely call me when you come to New York, or we'll do...
I absolutely will, Alan. I'm looking forward to meeting you.
Yeah, so I've been talking to Yvonne Oswald, the author of Every Word Has Power, a new book out by Beyond Words Publishing, they've published a lot of great books this past year, and they will be in the future. And your website again, Yvonne?
www.globalwelcome.com, G-L-O-B-A-L, welcome.com. And you can get the book on Amazon.com.
Right, and... I'm sure. I think also if you go to beyondwordpublishing.com, there's a whole list of their words.
It's also in all the local bookstores, actually. It's in Barnes & Noble. It's in Indigo in Canada. So I think there's three or four books in every bookstore. They've done a really good job to distribute it. So.
And I really like, you know, in the back of the book, the appendix about which words are low energy and which words are high energy.
Yes, I spent till 5 o'clock many, many mornings. Looking at words, looking at internet searches, working out what was low energy, what was high energy.
Right.
And if you're not sure if a word's low energy or high energy, simply key it into the internet and find out what the search results are.
And you can also muscle test yourself as well.
Muscle test as well, sure.
You have dark as a low energy word. Dark is not necessarily a low energy word, is it?
No, it depends on the context.
Right. But most of these others are pretty... I don't even want to say them. They're so low energy.
No, exactly. I know.
Yes.
But challenge was one interesting one we had an interesting thing about. It turns out it's just high energy. Just.
Yes.
Because if you look up challenge and look at all the internet sites that come up on the word, most of them are fairly good.
Ah. So it's a kind of like collective dowsing. You look at the internet sites and see what the...
Yeah, because it has to be a microcosm of the macrocosm, or we couldn't have invented it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. There's a lot of great little things in this book.
Fabulous. Thank you. Yeah,
thanks.
I'm really looking forward to everyone buying it and getting out there and healing the world.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I mean, we need new ways of communicating.
Okay, fabulous, Alan.
What's that?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you have any questions, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net and check out my website, newrealities.com. And where some of these past BBS interviews have been posted, but you can get a whole archive here on bbsradio.com under the archives, New Realities. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you next week. Thank you.